Up next, it's hour one of the Dr. Future Show.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSCO presents the Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Hey, folks, happy Tuesday. Yeah, another beautiful day in Santa Cruz out here on the West Coast. Just gorgeous. We have a number of stories for you in this first half an hour. The rest of the time, from 2:30 on, we're going to be delving into a fairly contentious topic, something that I thought the Dr. Future Show should look into a little bit more deeply, especially with the incident that happened at the Tribeca Film Festival regarding vaccines. We're going to take a little deeper look at it. You know that we tend to be scientifically oriented, and we have a show that brings you some citizen scientists who are going to present some information that will be contentious, and we hope that you enjoy it.
And join us in the discussion.
Join us in the discussion, because it is a public discussion to really look at. We thought the whole vaccine thing had been put to bed, but no, it's back, and there's a reason for it, and we're going to look at that a little bit more closely.
Yeah, and like many things where facts and emotions are merged, there are very polarized opinions about it, and people feel very strongly from opposite sides of the perspective. So we're going to try and create a way of discussing that that allows us to hear each other and resolve the conflicts and be intelligent as a holistic community.
Yeah.
Okay,
enough said on that. Let's get into some of the headlines. I thought it was very interesting that the FBI hacked the iPhone and now has been put that to bed.
That was kind of predictable, don't you think? Because we had John McAfee the day after the FBI demand for Apple. He was offering to do it for them. He's like, yeah, this is nothing for a hacker. Hackers know how to approach this problem.
Yeah, it really ties in with my assertion that the FBI really knew how to do it all along. It really wasn't a technical problem. It was more just getting more legal tools under their belt. Mm-hmm. As our Washington friends so aptly pointed out. If they have a few more legal tools, then it makes it a little easier to get into the phones officially.
So you think it was a ruse?
I think it's a way of getting legal privilege. Mm-hmm. Technically, I don't think it was that difficult. The fact that the FBI isn't saying how they broke in is an example of that.
And they're not going to tell Apple either, even though John McAfee already pretty much published on the internet how to approach it as a hacker.
Yeah, exactly. I think the security community basically told the FBI what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, and they listened, and they got it. So there you have it.
Oh, good.
So the other big news this week is that Tesla is about to reveal its Model 3. You hear about that? The $35,000 sedan.
They're going to be swamped.
Yeah, $35,000. That's in the realm of the Chevy Bolt and some of the hybrid cars, like the Volt and the Prius. But all electric with a 200-mile range, $35,000. It will be about 20% smaller than the Model S and about the size of an Audi A4, which is a five-seater that feels a little bit roomier than some of its rivals in that class category. That class category would be like BMW's 3 Series. Mm-hmm. Sort of an entry-level luxury car.
Mm-hmm.
And there's extra leg room because, you know, the electric drivetrain obviates the need for a transmission hump in the floor. And there's no engine in electric cars, so you have a front trunk as well. I think they call it a frunk for extra storage. It's considered the company's top priority right now. Musk thinks it's the most profound car that they'll have made so far. And they'll be taking journalists on a quick spin of that over the next few days. And it should be very interesting. You'll be hearing lots of stories coming out in the news about this. The Model 3.
All right. Teslas. Doesn't everybody lust for a Tesla? I
know for $1,000 down, you can get in the reservation line for that. So they're looking at a 2017 delivery goal for that. Not when in 2017, but it'll be interesting. And as I mentioned, it's at least a 200 miles per charge. And if they offer the same 60 kilowatt hour lithium ion battery pack as the 2017 Chevy Bolt, that could be even better.
I think we need to test drive one first, make sure it can go up our hill.
Right. That'd be good. The interesting thing about it is that it is redesigned from scratch. It's not like a modified Model S or anything. It's an all-new platform beyond the Roadster, the Model S, or the X. It's made from the ground up. It's a new battery architecture, a new motor technology, a new vehicle structure. You know, a lot of work.
I wonder what they're going to do. They've been very slow to meet demand. And with a $35,000 price tag, I'm sure that the demand is going to go through the roof.
Probably. But when you include all the extras and stuff like the autonomous software and safety features, it'll probably be closer to $50,000.
Oh, so if you wanted autonomous, you just spend another $15,000. So it's sort of like hiring a chauffeur.
They're not offering officially autonomous. That's still considered 5 years out. But the software will have a lot of autonomous features, much like the Model S does already.
Oh, so one day autonomy will be legal for cars and they'll just beam out a little software update and all of a sudden the cars will take off.
If they have the hardware installed. Yeah, and I believe that that is their plan. The hardware packages will be there for you.
Somehow this makes me think of that moment in The Lawnmower Man where all the phones started ringing at once. You know?
Well, it might take you where you want to go, but it'll take everybody where they want to go all at once.
Without colliding.
But people still don't know, you know, whether or not that 17-inch dashboard touchscreen will be there, or cup holders, what's going on with that, or whether or not it will be all done in the flagship factory in Fremont, or the gigafactory that they're building rapidly for the batteries. Is it going to come there? Are they going to have a factory in China or Europe? A lot of questions going on in that world. You can buy one this year. You can look at it this week, I believe. This week is when that
gets released. And what's the model number again? The Tesla?
It's called the Model 3.
The Tesla Model 3 coming in 2017.
That's it.
All right, folks. This is the Dr. Future Show. We'll be right back.
Okay, welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. One of the more interesting things that's happened in the space world is a nice report on Saturn's moon Titan. Heard of Titan? It's the most fascinating moon in the solar system.
Yeah, isn't that the one everybody wants to land on?
Well,
or no, I guess that's Europa.
Yeah,
because there's
Europa
a big ocean,
the ocean
there.
Right.
We all want to float on the ocean in Europa.
Well, our Saturn probe, the Cassini spacecraft, has found a huge mountain range on Titan, with one peak reaching over 10,000 feet up into that alien sky.
Mm-hmm.
It's 10,948 feet. You know, it's not quite as big as Mount Everest with our 30,000-foot airplane and stuff like that, but it's not far off from some of the highest peaks in the U.S. And it's pretty impressive for a moon, you know, that's nowhere near as large as the Earth. It's Saturn's largest moon. It's the second largest moon in the solar system. Jupiter's Ganymede is bigger, is the only one bigger. It's 50% larger than our moon, 50%. And it's actually larger in volume than the planet Mercury, which is the smallest planet next to the sun. Although Mercury has it beat in, on mass to a much higher density, but that's the size is bigger. And what's interesting about Titan is we're finding it's got some really unusual attributes. It's the only natural satellite in our solar system that has a thick atmosphere, an actual atmosphere.
Greenhouse gas?
If so, then the mountains would have some carbon dioxide, frozen carbon dioxide skiing, which could be interesting.
Yeah.
They're also interested in Titan because it has stable bodies of surface liquid.
Oh, is that like frozen lakes?
Surface liquid. They don't tell you what that is either. Probably like liquid methane. Don't light a match.
Every time we look, it's still there. It's frozen. It's a surface liquid. It's shiny. It's reflecting light.
I still like the idea of skiing on carbon dioxide snow.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
I wonder what your skis would have to be made of for that to work.
Probably not wood.
Yeah, sounds like it might start a fire.
Maybe titanium. The Cassini radar team is at Brigham Young University in Utah, who are very familiar with skiing. They would know.
Absolutely. Well, I'm sure it's going to be a long time before anybody's packing skis to go to
Titan.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably right. It'll be a while.
Right. Meanwhile,
Meanwhile, back on Earth.
Back on Earth, it looks like Cassini is a fun place to go mountain climbing.
Yeah. It'll lead to some really nice VR tours of the solar system.
There you go.
You know, we'll get some really nice wraparound imagery, maybe 3D.
All right, you hear that, Oculus? Yeah. We need to get you to Titan.
Let's make the solar system more fun to travel through.
Sure.
It seems like VR is the perfect thing to utilize for that.
Yeah, right. Can get a mass audience, people sitting in their chairs and exploring new frontiers.
Exactly. Now let's go a little bit back into the past now. There has been some research about our species ancestry. Interestingly enough. And apparently, our species, Homo sapiens sapien, has crossbred with other species.
Somehow this is not surprising. We have a very, shall I say, outgoing species in general.
You think?
Yeah. But what species have we been exploring?
Well, a new map of our archaic ancestry suggests that many bloodlines, particularly of South Asian descent, may actually be a bit more what they call Denisovan, I guess it would be. D-E-N-I-S-O-V-A-N.
Denisovan.
It's a mysterious population of hominids that lived around the same time as the Neanderthals.
Mm-hmm. And what do we know about this mysterious population?
They were another hominid line that came out of Africa. They settled many parts of Asia and Russia, particularly. And it looks like they interbred with Neanderthal and then later with Homo sapiens sapien.
Okay. Well, and where are they today? Do we know anything else?
No, they're completely extinct, along with the Neanderthal.
Uh-huh.
But we have Denisovan.
Just little remnants of their genes.
In us, right.
Uh-huh.
And there's a percentage in our genes that's distributed around the planet. And there's a very nice little map that I have on our links page where you can look at those links.
Fascinating.
Yeah, it's right there. We're just waiting for us to explore our ancestry on that level. Though I think most of the time when we're looking at Ancestry.com and things like that, we're not really going back that far.
Right.
It's usually much closer to the now time, maybe 5 or 6 generations, something like that, I think. How far did you go back in your ancestry work, Mrs. Future?
I've come back to about the 1800s, you know. Now, you can't go very far in terms of searchable data, because most of the way that ancestry was captured in the past was not written down. And so if you don't have a recording and you don't have a bone, you really are just shooting from the hip.
That's true. We hardly have any records of most of the history of our species.
Yeah. As soon as you go back 200 years, you're really dealing with literate people writing letters and sticking them in Bibles, or maybe occasionally there would be church records that said who was born and who got married and who died.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. There you go. It's a fascinating map. You take a look at it. Maybe some of your ancestry has the more Denisovan ancestry.
I can't wait to find out.
Yeah, take a look. It's on our website. You know how there's a way of where we're all trying to increase the security of our country in various ways, you know, with border control, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's interesting is that Kuwait has now made it so that DNA testing is mandatory for all residents.
All residents.
All residents, both citizens and visitors.
Wow.
They've passed legislation that requires all of the country's residents to turn in their DNA to build a national database. Failure to comply equals jail time.
So I suppose this is the millennial equivalent of fingerprints.
Yeah.
It won't be long before it's mandatory for every citizen of the earth who hasn't left the planet to have their DNA on file.
Pretty much. If you stop and think about it, DNA is the ultimate ID. Everyone has their own unique ID.
No kidding.
DNA,
there's
right?
No
what
substitute more do you need? For one's own DNA, and there's nobody just like you.
Yeah. So, of course, it would all lead to us having that as our identity.
Sure. But doesn't that also give a lot of power over our identity to the people who know how to work with DNA to have superpowers?
Well, it depends on your paradigm of the future and how you look at it. me, I do see this whole evolution of who we are, our identity, as Joseph Campbell says, our species identity, as being the next chapter in human evolution, where we're not thinking of ourselves as being Americans or Canadians only, for example, or male or female, but who we are in terms of our species. What's our human identity? Human, as Brett Leonard likes to say, the global human. What is the global human identity? So I think it's part of that. Mm-hmm. And your global human identity has your DNA as part of identifying who you are as a human.
I guess just to bring up an age-old argument that's been around as long as the discussion of democracy versus philosopher kings is, where do we get to draw the line in terms of personal self-sovereignty and freedom when we're part of these groups that want us to be subject to the group will?
Well, there's always the control elements. And that's both a good and a bad thing. It's a good thing if you think of it as biology being in charge of our evolution. Like, we're moving towards a global human, not because of any particular boys club trying to force a new world order, but because that's what biology wants. Right?
Yeah, when you say control, I would put in the word alignment, because in terms of who's in charge, alignment comes from inner directedness and the person being in charge of themselves, whereas control comes from outside yourself and indicates somebody making you do something that they want. And I really feel that evolution requires us to set up situations where individuals make choices, not where individuals are forced to do things that are
somebody else's
choices.
No, it's not about forcing. It's about an alignment. Absolutely right. It's the balance that we seek between outer and inner.
All right. Time for us to go to a break, folks.
All right.
So stay tuned, and you'll hear more of the Dr. Future Show after the news.